How long has this been going on? Marty.
Yes, sir.
So we mentioned that song in a video last week, and we got a whole bunch of comments when I said that that song was about a guy who had a girl that was cheating on him.
Because you were wrong.
You guys informed me that that song was written about the bass player who was off playing in some other bands.
Cheating bass player.
Yeah, cheating bass player. And the group found out about it and they wrote a song about it. It kind of proved a point that I often like to make, is that a lot of times people get so hung up on writing the truth that they forget to make their songs universal.
Yeah.
And so just imagine if he had written a song, you know, and he's like, we gave you your first gig. You were playing bass. I mean, how many people are going to relate to a bass player cheating in the band?
And now you're cheating on us right to our face.
So the brilliance of this is songs are not necessarily what you wrote them about. That it's not about what gave you the idea. It's what did that song become? And songs are what people believe them to be. So yeah. The whole world, when that song came out, thought it was about a cheating girlfriend.
Even you.
Yeah, even me. That's the brilliance of it, is writing it in a way where even though the story was about a bass player, it's written in a way that everyone could apply their own situation to it. You know, it could be somebody that was cheating you in business, could be somebody that cheated you in a relationship, yep. Whatever the instance is. So I take away from that is, even though you have something that inspired your song, you don't have to limit it to that specific thing that happened, because he reached a lot more people with his song and created a great song by being more big view, generic. I hate that word, generic.
Universal.
Universal. There we go. Yes.
Interestingly enough, my first hit song came about from this exact lesson that we're going to be talking about today. So I had written a song about my grandmother, because my grandfather died really early and my grandmother was kind of bitter and angry the rest of her life, and she lived 25 years or more. And so it was called She Stopped Living the Day He Died. And my publisher said, that's the saddest crap I've ever heard. Like, because it had their names in it. And her name, interestingly enough, was Minnie Cooper.
Mm.
They named a car after her.
Okay.
But it had their names and where they worked and all this stuff. And when I played it for my family, they all cried because they knew this scenario. But when I played it for my publisher, he was like, nobody's going to sing that song. So he said, I want you to go find the universal emotion behind that song, and we'll write a song that's more universal, that more people can relate to. Right. And so I went and worked on it, and I came back to him and I said, okay, the universal idea is that sometimes when you lose someone, it feels like you died.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, okay, we can work with that. So we wound up writing a song called While You Loved Me that Rascal Flatts recorded.
And the idea of that was, I lived while you loved
so
me. So
the chorus was,
spin, right?
I was born the day you kissed me. Yeah. I died inside the night you left me, but I lived while you loved me.
Yeah.
When I hear that song, I think about my grandmother. But when other people hear the song, they can think about someone they lost, whether it's someone who died or someone who just moved out of their life or that broke their heart. It applies to all those situations.
So the song becomes about all of those things.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what got me with the comment, oh, that song's about a bass player. I get that. The song was bigger than a song about a bass player.
Right.
And that's the point. Learning to take a spark of an idea, that take that inspiration and create something much bigger,
yeah,
that will touch the whole entire world rather than just the bass players who get giddy when they hear the,
yeah,
song.
Or just my family that, you know,
right,
here,
yes,
here's my song about my grandmother,
right,
you know. And sometimes we get confused because maybe we play a song for a familiar group of people. Maybe even it's at a coffee shop where a lot of the people know us and they go, oh, that's just such an amazing, moving song. But when we,
right,
try to play it for a broader audience, it doesn't work. So today we have 7 points.
Well, we better get to it.
I know. Number one way to write universally without writing generically is to write from your voice. So make sure that you are telling the story in your unique way, because right. a lot of times what we see is people imitating someone else's writing style right. or imitating an artist, you know, trying to put it too much in their voice. And what they're looking for is something that's said a little bit differently, and your voice is what could do that.
Yeah.
Number two is to write from your story, but not your story. So that the example I gave was While You Love Me is not my story particularly, mm-hmm. but it's from that story. So right. I call it kind of being adjacent to it. It's adjacent to it, but in a way that's much more approachable to a lot more people.
Right.
Number three is to identify the core emotion, like I talked about, and explore how you felt that in your life. You know, so if you're writing about, you know, deep loneliness, go, okay, when have I felt that way? You know, well, it's when this person betrayed me or broke my trust. It's when this person lied to me.
Right.
It's when this person moved away that I loved. And if you explore the scenarios in which you have felt that emotion, it's a lot easier to write something that a lot of people can relate to.
Right.
Number four is to find a new way into the emotion. So like my song, Let Me Down Easy, it's about a person who's afraid. They're afraid to fall in love again. You know, our new angle into that idea was, well, let me ask the person to be gentle with me. You know, if I do fall again, then, you know, take it easy on me. Let me down easy.
But let me down is kind of a negative phrase. So you flipped it to mean something positive.
Right.
To go with the fall.
Yeah.
If I'm going to fall, let me down easy.
Right.
So that made it more interesting than if I'm going to fall, go easy on me.
Yeah. So it just finding a new way into the emotion can be really helpful. Number five, to remember that details are the doorway, but emotion is the destination. Hmm. So we want people to feel something. And a lot of times it's great to paint a picture, but the picture can get in the way of the emotion if we're not careful. And a lot of times what I see is people, they've got all these great pictures, but I'm like, what am I supposed to feel
right.
in this song? You know, so just remembering that the details have to serve the emotion, not the other way around. The emotion's not there to serve the details in the song. And so I've got to make sure that those details aren't fighting with the emotion or getting in the way of it.
And a lot of times I see this in movies too, where the mundane details are kind of in contrast to the big emotion. So for instance, you're painting this picture of, you know, made a cup of coffee and sat down and read the newspaper, whatever it is, you're painting this morning picture of a guy. But then he goes, this would all be great if you were still here to share it with me. And then it's like, oh. So you could take just completely mundane details that, you know, are just something in everyday life, but then you make them mean something more when you hit that big emotion.
Yeah.
Which they do that a lot in movies. And you have to be careful because sometimes you put so many details and it's so much mundane stuff. And then you're like, okay, this could have been edited
right.
to be half as long and we would have still gotten the point. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things I'm always asking myself about details in my song is how crucial is this detail to this song?
Yeah.
So like, does it have to be in Alabama? Or could it just be anywhere in the South? Or could it just be anywhere? You know, do there have to be children in the song?
Right.
You know, or could it take out children and it's just a relationship song that more people could relate to, even if they don't have children, you know? So making sure that your details are the doorway, but they don't get in the way of the destination, which is the emotion. Number six is to write what everybody feels, but they can't say. Hmm. And one of the things I've noticed, like if I go to a concert where an artist is singing one of my songs, the thing I'm watching for is if people start singing it to the person they're with.
Yeah.
Because what that tells me is I've said something they want to say in a way they didn't think of. So, you know, if they're looking at their girlfriend or their boyfriend and they're singing this song, you've pulled off, you know, saying something that they want to say in a way they couldn't say it. So, you know, trying to think about who would want to say this and in what circumstance would they say it? And how could I say it in a way that's broadly appealing and universal?
Yeah.
And then the last one is to show, don't tell. And I've heard this in many different ways related to songwriting, but what I'm meaning in this instance is, what does lonely look like? You know, what is, I've got a song called That's What Leaving Looks Like. And it's talking about like a cold pillow on your side of the bed, an empty picture frame in the hallway, and all these things. That's what leaving looks like.
Richard Lee and I wrote a song one time called The One in Lonely Me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about what he looked like being lonely.
Yeah. So paint me a picture of what the feeling looks like, you know, or what does a heartbroken person look like, you know, and what are the images I can draw in that are going to help people go, oh, yeah, that I remember, you know, I lost that person and I saw their coffee cup sitting by the sink. And I'm like, they put that there this morning, you know, that kind of thing.
Wow.
You know, so those are some tips that can help you be universal without being generic. Because I think a lot of times people go, well, I want to write my song and I'm just going to hope that people relate to it.
Or I don't care if anyone relates to it.
Right. And that's great if you really don't want them
to. So why are you singing this tonight if
exactly.
you don't care yeah. if we like it or...
Yeah. Or relate to it.
Yeah, or relate to it.
Yeah, I think most of the time that's kind of a defense mechanism.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I'm worried people won't relate to this song, so I'm going to claim that I don't care, you know. But if you're going to play your song for anybody, you want it to be that they feel it too.
They feel, you want them to feel the same thing you felt when you wrote it.
Right.
And so that gets me a lot of times. People go, well, I don't think about the audience when I'm writing. But I think at some point you have to check, maybe as you finish writing it, you need to step back and go, okay, is this going to make people feel the way I want them to feel? And if it doesn't, then you can do some rewriting. But I think just to be oblivious to the audience and how it's going to make them feel, I don't know any great writer that is just, I just write my diary entry and who cares if the world likes it. Like, you don't want people to like it, but you want people to feel what you're feeling.
Yeah, yeah. All right, that's it. Hope that's helpful.
Cheers.
See you soon.
Hey, thanks for watching. If you appreciate the content, hit the subscribe button and help us grow. Shout out to Sweetwater Music. It's where Marty and I get all our musical gear. Great people. We'll see you guys around town. Right on.